Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Every day is filled with opportunities to express yourself. And with an everyday piece from Blue Nile, you can do it without saying a word. Blue Nile's collection of diamond jewelry is the ultimate statement, with sparkle that elevates any outfit. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome back to Mads World. I'm your host Mads and I hope you've been enjoying season 10 of Mads World so far. If you've been enjoying the show, please remember to subscribe on your favourite listening platform. Leave me a rating or a review. It's the best way to help out the show. Otherwise, just share it with a mate today. This week, I'm joined by athlete and content creator Beck Putner. I asked Beck to join me on the podcast after she created a review video of the podcast on TikTok, which is so much fun. If you fancy joining me for an episode, please reach out. You can find my email in any of my socials. It's hello@madsworld.co. Beck is currently training for her first half Ironman triathlon and is documenting the process on her Instagram and TikTok to show what it's really like to balance working out, career, and the rest of life. She loves reading at the beach, podcast walks, listening to Mads World, obviously, and her cat is Sorbet. In this episode, we discuss Beck's personal journey towards finding self-confidence, feminism and equality in sport, being the only woman in a male-dominated degree or profession, the importance of hobbies as an adult, using exercise to be social and meet like-minded people, and so much more. Hello, Beck!
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So you did an amazing review of Mads World on your TikTok, which was so awesome. And then we had the idea to have you on the podcast as a guest because you've got so many interesting things to talk about and I'm buzzing to go through them all.
I'm so excited. This is my first podcast ever, so...
Oh my God, am I having a podcast virginity? That's so fun.
What? So fun.
I love that.
Bit nervous, but... love it.
Oh my God, I'm nice, I promise. I won't bite. I'm very nice. Well, let's get stuck into our speed date question round so everyone listening can learn a bit more about you. And I need to learn a bit more about you too because this is your first ever podcast. So, you know, normally I can do a bit of Google research and find some stuff out, but, you know, here we go. So tell me your favorite pop culture moment of all time.
Okay, I had to pick something slightly sports related because that is kind of my main interest at the moment. I had to pick Steve Bradbury's gold medal moment. Okay. I don't know if you know him, but he's that Australian speed skater guy. So he was basically in the final at the Olympics and he was coming dead last the entire race. And in the very final section of the race, every person fell over, had this big collision, and he just went, I'm going to dodge right around you. And he ended up with the gold medal.
Do you know what? I feel like I've seen this somewhere, TikTok, probably on like, you know what it would have been on like 20 to 1 with like Bert Newton, like top 20 sporting moments. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I feel like, is it roller skating or ice skating?
Ice skating.
Oh my God.
Which is so rogue for an Australian to ever get a gold medal in that.
That's
so
good.
I just love it because it's so iconic. It's like, he actually got himself into that final. He did the hard work, but everyone kind of like thought he was the underdog. He's losing the whole time. And then there he is.
We love to see it. It's like movie moment type vibes. Like you can imagine that being in a film. And you know what? Ice skating is really fucking hard because I did it at Christmas in England a few times. And like every year I was like, right, this time I'm going to be so good. I did it last year. I'm going to be so brave. I take one step on the ice. I'm like, I hate it. I want to get off. This is so scary. And there's like like kids flying past you that are about four and they're like, are you okay, ma'am? And I'm like, leave me alone. You're embarrassing me.
It's humbling, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, so humbling. Up next, tell me about a failure or a moment in your life that taught you something valuable. And I just know that yours is going to be amazing because based on what you've told me about your sporting journey, I'm really buzzing to hear this one.
Yeah, I kind of thought about this one for a little while. I couldn't just pick one failure. I just feel like my life in my 20s, ever since I left school, has just been kind of a series of failures. And that's okay.
That's okay.
Like my main message is that's okay. I will preface this with saying I did start 6 different uni degrees.
Oh, my 6? Days. Can you please tell me what were the 6?
So I started out in engineering.
Great.
I will talk about that a little bit later. I did a sports science degree. I tried to do a research honors year, ducked out of that one pretty quick. I've done a master's of primary teaching, so I work as a teacher now. But yeah, there was a lot of false starts.
Oh my
Lessons
God.
Learned.
Love yeah. that. But also sometimes you have to figure out what you don't want to do to figure out what you do want to do, you know?
I think so.
And that's the benefit of failures. Like, it doesn't feel great at the time, but then you're sort of like, oh, I probably wouldn't have figured out what I'm passionate about or what I love to spend my time doing if I didn't do something terrible, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it did really well for my, perfectionist little brain. Like, coming out of high school, I was like, I knew exactly what I wanted to do through high school. And then suddenly in my 20s, I was like, oh, my God, I don't know how to handle adult life.
Yeah.
So I think it was good for that. I've learned a lot.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, I think I never was someone who knew what they wanted to do. I sort of just was a bit creative in school. I was quite unmotivated. I had undiagnosed ADHD for all of it. I I just never really had a passion. I just knew I liked art. And then I went into media because I was like, media is sort of artistic, but it's actually a realistic career as well. Whereas I think if I was to do visual art, my parents are both in medicine, my dad's a paramedic, my mum's a nurse, but they're very practical people. So if I was to go into art, I wouldn't have been disowned, but they would have been like, pull your finger out. Like, what are you doing going and doing painting? I'd be like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. But yeah, I guess even it just goes to show, even if you do have an idea of what you think you definitely want to do, you could be totally wrong.
Yeah. And I think that pressure from outside sources is so huge. Like you said, you picked a degree or a pathway because you thought it was realistic. I don't want to live my life picking the realistic things. I just want to go with my passions.
So good. I love that. And I feel like sometimes everyone sort of ends up doing that in a sense, but then if you do get stuck on a path, like a career path, or if you just simply have, a lot of people don't have the joy of working in a job that they love. They just have to work in a job to get by. But I think you end up finding a way to channel your passions, and we're going to talk about that a bit later, through things like hobbies and extracurricular activities, which gets a bit lost in the clutter in your older years. But yeah, this, what did we say before, 2024 is year of the hobby.
Yeah, year of the hobby.
Next question for speed date round, tell me about a book or a movie or a song that has impacted your life and you've never looked back.
Okay, I am a huge reader. I really like reading and I really like sharing what I read, so I do share book reviews on my Instagram, and I'm starting a series where I'm going to review more books. I'm hoping to focus kind of on sports books, creativity, mindset, anything to do with that. But the first book I read for this series is called Good for a Girl. I actually just read it last week, and it might be the best book I've ever read.
Oh my God, huge call. I love it.
Yeah, I've actually got it right here with me. It's by this woman, Lauren Fleshman, who was a professional American runner. She ran the 5K kind of distance at Stanford and then became a Nike pro athlete. And her book is kind of a memoir, and then also just kind of has science and life lessons all throughout. But she talks really honestly about eating disorder, culture throughout sport. About becoming a pro athlete as a woman when all the men were getting all the money and all the attention, kind of the struggles of if you got pregnant or injured as a woman and what did that mean for your contract. And Nike just had all the rights to say, nope, we're not employing you anymore.
Really?
And so, yeah, it was such an interesting read. It actually made me cry twice. And I do think that if you're not that big into sports, you'd still love this book. Because it's just about life and
Yeah, I really feel like I need to read it because I'm a huge reader as well. But at the moment, I'm in a bit of a slump because I think I started reading loads of nonfiction, like stuff about like work and career and stuff like that when I moved back to Australia. But then I got so caught up in, and we were talking about this before we started recording as well, I'm starting my own business and I'm going full time with the podcast, it's so exciting and it's so terrifying. But it's also like, I feel like any moment that I'm not working on stuff is wasted time, which is so negative. It's such a bad way to be because you need to switch off. But I'm really enjoying like just like fixating on it and doing it. But I think all the books I was reading as well, and that's escapism for me, is reading, sitting outside with the dog in the sun, reading my book. Like that shouldn't be work. Like, and there's enough on the internet that I'm like reading articles all day about stuff anyway that interests me that's to do with my career or podcasting or whatever. So it's like, I don't really need to go read books that are about that too. Cause when do you switch off? Like it's just constant.
Totally.
So yeah, I think I might give it a go, your book a go, because I'm like, I need to get something, I need to read something completely separate from work and media shite.
I reckon, you know? Definitely go check out my Instagram because there's a lot more reviews of just like nice speech reads that I think you'd probably enjoy.
Amazing, 100%. And where can people find you on Instagram as well?
It's just Beck Putner, which is amazing. Putna.
Beautiful. And last but not least, what is your funniest date story?
All of my dates, I feel like, were just so cringe. But I have to tell my maybe only date I went on during high school. I went to an all-girls school, so I feel like I just didn't really, like, interact with boys. But in high school, I was chatting to this boy probably on like Messenger who I didn't really know that well, but we arranged to meet up like at the mall one weekend, and I went into the mall. I got like my mom to drop me off saying I was meeting the girls or something, of course. He was then 2 hours late.
No.
So I just like wandered around, so awkward. And when we like met up, he was like, okay, I'm gonna take you to my favorite place, and we go to an internet cafe where he sits and plays video games, one player video games for an hour, and I just sat there like not saying a word. I didn't say one word to him. He then finishes his hour, he looks at me and goes, should I pay for another hour? And I was like, I'm kind of hungry, I think we should go.
Oh god.
He then bless his heart, I think he really tried. Then he bought me this drink and it really tasted like soap.
Oh my god.
And I took like two sips and like threw it in the bin and went, okay, I think I have to go now. Safe to say we never really spoke again after that. But
that is hectic. This reminds me, have you seen all the TikToks lately about like Europeans and Americans and like British people being like, what is with Australian men and the lazy dating culture? Like they're so bad lazy. At it. I'm like, I know this is high school, so the bar is low and he'd probably never been on a date. But like that's something that I feel a 28-year-old man would do to me now in Melbourne. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I hope not. But it's grim.
Oh God. I have been trying to get on the apps, but I'm kind of in that, I just like don't even want to do it. I just can't be arsed. And I'm just like, it's too hot. Like I don't want to go on a date and just be sweaty and talk to someone random. Like, I just can't be arsed. And then like I'll open the app, see that there's like 20 people on there. I'm like, instantly close that. I don't want to see. I don't want to engage.
I will say I did meet my boyfriend on Hinge.
Stop.
And we've been together for like 3 or 4 years. So,
what?
I mean, it is worth it if you can get past the awkwardness.
What was your, I mean, I did it a lot in London, but I feel like it's weird in Melbourne because I'm like, what if there's just someone I know on there? I'm scared. I don't like it. I was going to say, what was your first date like Hinge date with your boyfriend? Was it like best date ever? And then you just suddenly like came together? What happened?
It was just like the most normal, nice date. Like we met up for a drink. We just chatted. We got along really well. Like we were both nervous and awkward, but it was just like lovely. And afterwards I was like, oh yeah, he was nice and calm and I probably need that in my life. So
that's so good. I guess it is like that. It just takes one good one, you know, because then you have you have so many bad ones and then you meet someone nice, or even like you become friends with a nice guy and you're like, oh okay, I don't hate men as much as I say I do.
Exactly. It's nice to joke, but you do find good ones out there.
Yeah, and then you think, like, I think, like, my brother Hayden, he's gay and he's 26, and I always say, oh, I fucking hate men, but I'm like, oh, I don't hate my brother. He's so funny. And then I think, like, of my dad, I'm like, oh, my dad's nice. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm probably just being drama.
We hate the patriarchy.
Yeah. And that's
the
whole
point. What we hate is the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking about the patriarchy, there's so much cool stuff that I want to talk to you about in regards to feminism and finding self-confidence through things like exercise and, things like mental health as well. So my first question in regards to all these subjects is all looking at them through the lens of finding self-confidence. You mentioned to me that you are training for a half Ironman triathlon. Have I said that right?
Yes, you have.
Yeah. Well, so I'd love to know, like, can you share your personal journey towards finding self-confidence and what led you to start training for that half Ironman triathlon? I feel like it's a mouthful.
It is a bit. Okay, well, I'll start with the half Ironman triathlon. So that is kind of my big first project of this year, which is coming up in May. So it's a triathlon, so it's swim, bike, run, and the half Ironman just means it's a certain distance. So this race will probably take me 5 to 6 hours.
Wow.
Like, it's a real endurance event. So that's kind of my big project that I'm, like, training for at the moment. But the reason I am doing that is because I have just found that sport is the thing that I can gain my confidence through the most. And throughout my life, I've just realized that having self-confidence is kind of the biggest overarching theme that's, like, important. It impacts every single thing that I do. And I want to share that through my social media as well so that I can help other people become more self-confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess a little bit of backstory about me. I grew up as a super, super confident kid. Some people might say too confident, but I just was, like, happy, bubbly. I had no worries. I was good at school. I was good at sports. Like, it just came easily, and, you know, we love that. Then through high school, of course, you get a bit self-conscious. And then I graduated high school, and I was just chucked into the deep end of the adult world. And I just felt my confidence completely be shaken. I actually went to America to college for my first year of university, and I just think being so far away from home, being without my normal support networks, being in this really competitive sport and doing a uni degree that was really challenging, it was too many factors, and it just stripped all of my confidence away.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to hear that. That's hard.
Yeah, and it really sucked because I noticed that whenever my confidence dipped, then I stopped taking care of myself and my mental health would get really bad. And I just got really sad and really, like, honestly depressed a lot of the time, which like sucked because I was such a happy kid. And so I guess my 20s has been this challenge of kind of building myself back up. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, there's been challenges along the way that have shaken that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like most of us during COVID, I was definitely looking for something else to do. And so I got back into running quite seriously. Mm-hmm. And I just found that doing something every single day where I could see physical improvement, and I was keeping promises to myself, and I just felt so good about myself suddenly. And I was studying at the time. I was becoming a teacher at the time, which is a really hard thing to do. Because you're just in this environment where you don't know what you're doing a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But I found that running, that confidence I was getting from running was then coming into my work and into my relationships. And I felt like I could talk to new people and meet new friends. And it was just having such a positive impact on every aspect of my life.
That's amazing. I feel like that's so true when it does really bleed into, like, all the other elements, like, if it's coming from one source. I actually recorded a podcast earlier today with someone who spoke about how body image, like, her body image and finding, like, body positivity and then that leading to, like, self-love and self-care directly impacted the way that she felt about her experiences with domestic violence, because she feels that if she can help other women to become more confident and more, like, positive about themselves and, like, love themselves, then it allows women to either avoid getting in those situationships where they're experiencing things like abuse within a relationship, or, you know, manage those situations situations or leave quicker? Like, there's different things that she's had feedback from people, like the work that you've done in the body positivity space and the domestic violence or the like intimate abusive space, is it's really linked. So I think you're so right in saying that when you find confidence in one area, it sort of like turns a light switch on and it can light up other areas in your life too.
Totally. Yeah, it's so important.
And in your experiences with feminism and sports, so obviously you said you moved to America and you were challenging gender stereotypes through your early sporting career and your like academic work as well. What impact do you hope to have, or do you think that we can have, on breaking down barriers for women in these kind of fields?
Yeah, I think it's 2024, and I think it's crazy that these kind of issues are still so rampant in our world.
It's frustrating.
And I think it's so frustrating, but I mean, I think we're on our way. But I just think sport is such an interesting lens to look at gender roles, because you have genders separated so obviously. Like, men are in one category, women are in another. They don't ever mix. And so I just think that's a really interesting, yeah, way to look at things.
Yeah.
Just thinking back to kind of my first experience where I even noticed that this was an issue was when I was about 5.
Really?
I played on my first soccer team and it was all boys. Like, everyone who played was a boy. My friend and I were the only girls. We'd play against other clubs every single weekend and it was all boys. And as a 5-year-old, I was like, this is really interesting. Like, boys are expected to play sport and the girls are expected to turn up and kind of giggle and have a fun time.
Yeah, that is weird. And it's weird when you notice things when you're young, because it's so poignant and it really sticks in your head the first time you experience a certain emotion or you think of something. I feel like there's always times in my life when I think, why do I have such a vivid memory of that, like that moment? And you're like, oh, that was probably the first time I felt that way.
Yeah, it was just such a like blaringly obvious experience. And I just feel like then growing up playing a lot of sport, there were so many random gender stereotypes about girls who played sport, like about being butch or about questioning your sexuality, that were not always true, but they were very confusing for like us teenage girls. We're like, oh, I do like sport. Does that mean I'm like tomboyish, or does that mean
I'm gay?
Maybe I'm gay. But it's like, that's outside sources kind of putting those ideas on you as a, you know, 15, 16 year old. Very confusing. And then I went to America and played Division I sport over there. And it was very obvious again, like the men's teams had all of the attention. They got the good field times, the good trainers. Mm. All of the attention was going that way. And it's just such an interesting experience to see, like, yes, we are making waves at getting better and breaking down these gender stereotypes, but actually they are still really like pertinent in our world today. And I really want to change that.
And since I was gone and living in England for 7 years, everything's changed so much with, like, I know you're in Sydney, but like women's AFL or AFL women's.
Yeah, it's so huge now.
I think it's awesome. And then obviously, like, with the Matildas having their win last year as well, I feel like there's so many good strides being made in women's sport. But like, how would you say that we can continue to foster that positivity around like women in sport?
I think we definitely need to see more women in leadership and coaching roles, especially in those professional sports. Like, those teams need to be coached by women, just to be like setting a good example for young girls so that they know they could have a career in sport. I also think we just need more girls in their 20s and 30s setting a good example, showing that sport can be, you know, part of an active lifestyle and that it's cool to do. That it's not just for the boys. And then I think we also need to do some work about breaking down what it means to be an athlete as a male or a female. Like, boys are taught that to be an athlete, they have to be tough and rough and have no emotions, whereas girls are told you have to wear as little clothes as possible, you have to look hot while you're playing your sport, and, you know, you have to be really graceful if you win or if you lose. And I just think we need to do some work around breaking those down.
Yeah, and sexualizing women in sport when, I mean, men are sexualized to a degree, but then I don't think it's to the same level or in the same way that women are sexualized across all sport, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned the transition from an all-girls school to a male-dominated engineering degree, and now you're teaching at an all-girls school again. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'd love to know how these experiences in diversity, and they're such extremes as well, like all-girls school, male-dominated degree. How has that shaped your views on gender roles and professions?
Every day is filled with opportunities to express yourself. And with an everyday piece from Blue Nile, you can do it without saying a word. Blue Nile's collection of diamond jewelry is the ultimate statement, with sparkle that elevates any outfit. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, I think this has been a really interesting theme that's kind of overarched my whole life. I think going to an all-girls school, I grew up almost naive to the fact that there were these differences between boys and girls because we were empowered so much by our education, which is awesome.
That's cool, yeah.
But it really didn't prepare me for the real world.
Really?
So I got to university. I decided I wanted to do engineering because, you know, why wouldn't I? Girls in STEM.
Yeah, women in STEM, we love it.
Yeah, but then I got there and the reality of it was I was in a room with 50 other boys, no
wow.
other girls.
None.
And none, not one,
what?
Just me.
Oh my just days. Me. And also if you've only really been, like I know you said before, we joked, like you didn't really socialize with boys much when you went on that first date, but like I imagine that is true to a degree because when you're in school, like all you do is hang out with your mates at school every day, you know, like it must have been quite a culture shock almost to go to an all boys degree.
Yeah, it was such a shock to the system. I didn't know how to talk to anyone. And like, I'm a social, normal person. Like I tried my very best, but it's just a completely different skill set that I was not equipped with at the time.
Yeah. And do you have brothers or do you have brothers or a sister or only child?
I grew up mostly with a very close sister. My brother's older, so he'd moved out.
It's hard if you don't have, because I grew up with a lot of male friends like growing up. Like it just happened that all the parents, their kids were all boys. I've got 9 boy cousins. I feel like I feel like I'm quite a blokey person sometimes as well. Like just naturally, not in like a pick me girl way, but in a way that I guess is
like other girls.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be like the cool girl, but I mean, like I will, you know, be gross or play PlayStation or things like that. And it's not even in a hot way. It's just in like a genuinely like probably kind of a weird way. Like I think that's sort of come easily. But then I can imagine like if you're going into a situation and even if I was to be in a room with 50 men, I wouldn't feel safe. Like I wouldn't feel not only judged but also like unsafe sexually or intimidated. Like you can't say the wrong thing or you can't like where like have your boobs out if you go to the pub, like things like that, because it simply isn't safe to do that stuff as a woman in a room full of 50 men. Do you know what I mean? I think
yeah,
even
totally.
As someone who is, what I'm saying is even as someone who would be, as a younger person, completely comfortable around men, I would find that so hard at any age and almost impossible.
Yeah, it was just totally daunting. And in the end, I did decide to quit. I said, no, I actually don't want to spend the rest of my career working in an industry that is so male dominated because I just don't enjoy it. And, you know, I can enjoy the engineering. Yeah, you can enjoy the work, but if you're not going to enjoy the people around you, it's not going to work out long term. And so I ended up in a teaching degree, which is a very female dominated industry. And I work in an all girls school, which I do love. And I think it's really important, but it's been this full circle kind of thing that's made me question a lot of things about our society.
Yeah. And I guess you would have a different view on it to everyone else because you've actually lived it rather than just being like, oh, we need more women in engineering. But it's not that simple because you were a woman that went into engineering and the environment that you found yourself in and having to, you know, exist in every day is too challenging because the structures that they've put in place aren't there to foster a good environment for women to exist within that.
Yeah, exactly. I think we have more work to go.
You also mentioned to me an initiative to sell hats to raise money for Beyond Blue, which I think is really amazing. Can you delve into the idea behind them and how it ties into the concept of quieting your head noise through things like running? And we spoke about reading as escapism before as well. I'd just love to know more about the whole initiative. It's really interesting.
Yeah, thank you. This is something I'm super excited to talk about. It's kind of my first little delve into the business side of things. But one of my goals when I started out social media was that I want to raise awareness and money for charities that I really care about. And I think that mental health is such an important topic to talk about. So basically, the backstory of the hats is I've had this motto for the last year, which is to quieten the head noise. So I just think, like, when you can make a choice between living in this really overstimulated, distract-filled, demanding world, if you can make a choice to do something that's going to alleviate some of that stress, then I'm going to choose the thing that's going to relax my mind. So I wanted to create hats as like a physical reminder. So when you put it on, it's like this moment to quieten the head noise.
Oh, you wear the hat when you're going to be doing that activity.
Yeah, or any other time, really.
Oh, I love that. That's cool. And you can bring it on holidays too. I feel like I would bring it on holiday and wear it at the beach and be like, this is my time.
Yeah, exactly. So $5 from every hat is going to be donated to Beyond Blue. And you can go find the link on my Instagram and TikTok and still purchase them. I've only done quite a limited edition, but there's more to buy. So if anyone wants to go buy one, please do.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the episode show notes as well. So if you do want to go and grab a hat, just have a look in the episode description. I'll pop a link in. That's so cool. So in speaking about quieting the head noise in your life, how do you personally quiet the head noise in your life? Because I know you mentioned running. Is there any other sort of ways that you can do that you would recommend to other people looking to do similar things and find similar types of solace?
My personal favorites are things like running, swimming, reading, going in nature, talking to somebody you trust or who you love.
Yeah,
anything where you just feel calm and at peace and you're not like scrolling on your phone at the same time, or you know what I mean? So those are my favorites.
I really love swimming for that because I feel like when you go under the water, especially even in the ocean, even if it's a really busy ocean, you just can't hear anything. And I know it's so simple, but it's like suddenly all the noises are gone. Even if there's like kids screaming on the beach or like there's anything, like when you're under the water, you're like, oh, wow, like I'm really by myself right now. And like, even if someone screams at the top of their lungs, I can't hear them. Even if it's for like 10 seconds, do you know, I think swimming is such a cool thing for that.
Yeah, definitely.
We also spoke about the rise of running clubs and platforms like Strava, which has created opportunities to create new communities. And I think it's something that has become more prevalent since COVID when people were looking for a sense of community and seeking it out. I'd love to know how these communities have affected your perspective on fitness and relationships and personal growth, because you also said something so interesting to me that Strava and these clubs are now used as like the new dating app.
Yeah, I think these are such interesting topics, and especially as somebody who's already in a relationship, I just love kind of like observing what's going on.
Love it.
But basically, in the past year, I think run clubs have just taken over. I don't know about everywhere in Australia, but Sydney especially, like there's one run club that's quite new. It's called Unofficial Run Club. Last Friday, they had over 1,000 people show up on a Friday morning to go and run.
And do you reckon there's probably hot guys there, right?
Oh, there are.
Wait, no, I need to find the Melbourne one.
Yeah, so I just think it's really cool to see how many people in their like 20s and 30s are looking for something active and social to do, and they're really seeking out that community. For me personally, it took me a year. I kind of had this fear. I had this on my goals list actually like a whole year ago that I wanted to go to a run club because I know that that's, you know, something I enjoy and I wanted to make new friends. But I just had this huge social anxiety, like fear wall up since COVID. It took me a year to get over that. But once I went, I immediately found people who I connected with.
Really?
I had so much fun. And it's just, it's brought that kind of joyful side back out of me, which like I really want other people to experience too.
That's so nice. That's honestly so cool. I feel like at the moment I'm having a similar anxiety with going back to the gym because I've not done it. I've been thinking class pass so I can like dip my toe. But since I got back to Australia, I've kind of like, I keep thinking, oh, I'll figure it out next month when things are more stable. But things like now that I'm going to be working for myself, I'm like, things aren't getting more stable. They're getting more chaotic. So I'm like, I just need to do it. But there's like a block. Like I just don't want to do it because I'm scared.
I know, it's so tricky. And like, I don't even know what got me over the hump. I think it was literally just, I think the fact that I was watching so many people on social media go to these run clubs that eventually I was like, okay, they're having a great time.
Yeah, and they're just
normal. I should also go. Like, I can. Yeah, they're normal people. And so that's what I want to give to other people by showing that on my social media. It's like that little bit of courage to go and try something new.
Do you know what? I'm going to make a pledge. I'm going to go to the gym in the next few weeks and I'm going to join a run club. I can be the person you've influenced so you can check that box because I really feel like this is not something I would have considered because I'd be too scared. But if there's 1,000 people, there's 1,000 people. Like, who cares? I'm going.
Yeah. And it's so cool to see. Yeah. It's so cool to see because you don't have to be a fast runner. You
okay, good. Because
go
I'm not.
Like, try your hardest. Yeah. And also, I think the message should be, like, you can go once and hate it and never go again.
Yeah, just try it.
Just try it because it might be awesome.
That's so good. And speaking about confidence again, can you share a specific moment where you felt a significant boost in your confidence and how did that shape your, like, subsequent choices and actions?
Yeah, I think my whole 20s has just been this kind of like series of trying to get my confidence back. But I think last year I just made huge strides and I'm really proud of myself for that. But last year
I'm proud of you too.
Thank you. Last year I trained for the Melbourne Half Marathon and it was
awesome.
Not my first half marathon, but it was the first time where I took it really seriously. I hired a coach, like I really stuck to my program. I wasn't running whilst hungover. Like I did all the things I needed to do because I said out loud that my goal was a certain time. And I told other people that I wanted to do this. And I followed through and I just was really proud of myself because I feel like during school, I put in 110% effort into everything I did because I kind of had this delusion that maybe one day I'll go to the Olympics or something like that, even though that was never going to happen. And then once
Dream
I got
big.
Adult life, I realized, But once I became an adult, I realized that actually was never going to happen. So why am I trying? But last year I was like, okay, stop. Like you actually can try as freaking hard as you want to at something. It's not embarrassing. It's actually quite cool to try hard, even if it doesn't work out.
So true. Even with things like getting the ick about things like TikTok. And it's like, if I want to be a fucking podcaster, or if I want to be a content creator, I just have to do it. Like, it's not embarrassing.
Exactly.
I'm finding you so inspiring right now. Like it's not embarrassing. Like
thanks.
It's actually really cool.
Or it is embarrassing and it's also cool. Like I think we can just do both. Like,
it doesn't
what's
matter.
What's the problem with being embarrassing? Like we're all so cringe. Like I just be cringe on the internet sometimes. So whatever.
So true. And like I would do that in real life anyway. This is like earlier on another podcast I was saying to someone, I was like, oh, she's like, oh, you look nice. I was like, oh, I was literally wearing my Adam Sandler clothes like 10 minutes ago, but I've put on a nice top. It's like it's just everyone's gross and weird. So like who even cares?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We're all the same. Exactly.
Everyone's the same. Oh, that's awesome. And then, yeah, something else I wanted to talk about as well was obviously you're someone who really values extracurricular activities. And I'd love to know how you balance the societal expectation in your 20s that really prioritizes your career over personal interests and hobbies and something like a run club. I mean, it's obviously great because it's you're ticking off fitness and socialization in one go. But like, I think it's so true that, you know, in school we're encouraged to try so many new things so that we can find a path that we eventually make our career. But it's like not everything we do has to be focused on making money or like focusing on like how we can, you know, exist in the world in a professional way. Like sometimes you just want to have a hobby, right?
Exactly.
What would you say about that, like balancing those expectations with having lots of different hobbies as someone who has so many?
Yeah, I think I've got quite a lot to say about this, but one thing I noticed since being a primary school teacher was just how much I was jealous of my students who got to come to school and then they'd have a sport after school and then they'd be going to play their instrument or going to an art class or whatever they were doing. And I was like, that's so much fun. Why do I only get to do my job?
Like, yeah,
why
oh my
do
God,
I have to
so
focus
true.
On one thing? Like, it's yeah. just, it's not fun. It's not a sustainable way to live. And I hate that. I just think that mindset wasn't good for me as somebody who can really easily fall into that kind of perfectionism trap, mm-hmm. Where if I'm only doing one thing, my brain's going to focus on that thing all the time and try to get really, really, really good at that. But actually, you need to have aspects of your life where you're not good all the time, because that teaches yeah. you, you know, some resilience and all those other things that you need. So I don't know. I think 2024 is the year of the extracurricular, the hobby, the doing things that you're bad at anyway, and just giving things a try.
I literally am obsessed with this concept. I think like there's something, I think I saw a TikTok that said something like, not everything you do has to be perfect. And I was like, wait, what? And it was like, because sometimes like I'll be looking at like my Instagram feed for my podcast, and I've always like been, I think it's very millennial coded of me to like want to have a really aesthetic Instagram feed, but it's so Gen Z, Gen Alpha to just be like, I don't give a fuck. And I'm like, okay, I have to just let go a little bit, because I'm like, okay, I've got to do this post on this day, like schedule all my content. But it's like, if I was to just make content, put it out, people actually prefer that. Like I got a viral video, it got 1.5 million views on TikTok the other day, and it was literally me leaving Beyond the Valley with that my hair smelt so bad that my friend gagged. Like, I'm sorry, but like, how the hell is that on 1.5 million views? And then I'm like, the podcast, I'm like, I pour my heart and soul into this. I'm curating my Instagram feed. It looks so fire. Like, it looks so good. Who the fuck cares? Like, this is my year of doing things not as perfect, but just seeing what happens, because it's actually boding quite well for me lately.
Yeah, exactly. I think all of the beauty is in when you let go of all those pressures that you put on yourself.
Yes.
You can't control everything. Like, nothing's going to be perfect. So why are we even trying? Like, try your best, have fun, and that's all that matters.
Oh my God, yes, have fun. And I think that's something in the lead up to 100 episodes of the podcast, I look back and I'm like, God, so much of it I was stressed. Like, oh, I've gone live an hour later than I said I would. I don't want to let people down. But it's like, people just listen to podcasts whenever they want to listen. Like, it's not that deep. And I'm sorry if you're listening to this right now and I put it out an hour late one time and you were really mad and you didn't want to listen again. But do you know what I mean? It's like, just like, got to focus on all the fun I've had, all the cool people I've met. Like, you know, just like, it's come so far and it's just honestly so exciting. But yeah, I found this, like, this is just like, it's 6:30 p.m. on a Monday and I'm like, I need to go and walk my dog and listen to some cool music, because I'm feeling so inspired by Beck right now. I've got one more question for you, and I'd love to know, and I feel like this is going to be inspiring because every answer has been so far. Looking ahead, what are your aspirations for the future? 2024 is year of the hobby, but personally and in terms of your advocacy and your pursuits with Beyond Blue and the triathlon, and the list goes on. What's in store for you in 2024 and beyond?
So I've decided 2024, yes, is the year of hobbies. It's also the year of setting big goals and just going after them. So I have written a huge list of like kind of athletic goals. I want to finish my first half Ironman. I want to run a marathon under 3:20, which is quite a lot faster than my first one. I want to race overseas. I want to do an ultra marathon, which is like over 50K. So like I'm setting big goals because even if I don't quite get to them, I'm still gonna like get really fit and have a lot of fun along the way. Yeah, apart from kind of the athletic side, I am getting more into social media and sharing a lot more on my Instagram and TikTok. So if anyone wants to follow along, yes. Lots of sports and book content.
At Beck Putner, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that I'm really excited about, in March, I'm starting a creative writing course.
I really want to do one of those. That's so cool.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. Maybe write a book in the future. Who knows?
Do you know what? I said this recently to someone. It's a bit lame, but it's like if you aim for the moon, like shoot for the moon, yeah. And even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars. So even if you don't do your ultra marathon, which I'm sure you will, you'll end up doing two marathons or something, which is just as amazing. You know what? My friend did an ultra marathon in Wales. It literally was three marathons in one, which is like, I know.
Oh my God.
It was, he did two one day and then one the next. And I was like, and his feet afterwards was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm not going to even explain it, but they looked weird. But yeah, so I think that's so awesome, is aim high and then whatever you do, you'll be succeeding more than if you weren't aiming at all. So that is just awesome.
Exactly.
Oh, well, it's been so brilliant having you on the podcast, Beck. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for you and following the TikTok journey.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with the wonderful Beck. Please let me know on my Instagram, TikTok, any of my socials, if you have any stories or thoughts of your own to share about the pod. See you next week. Peace.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.